Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
Coming up, let's share some stuff. Our apartments, our cars, let's just share everything.
I got a Pez I could give you.
Okay.
Plus, Google Maps and Chrome just got a lot better. And how to expand your iPad hard drive. Did you know you could do that? And why don't people pay for apps anymore, I ask ya?
All that and news, apprenons le langage en iPad aujourd'hui.
What?
Yeah.
iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces from Citrix, the powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate with colleagues and clients anywhere. You could share the same screen and see each other face-to-face with HD video conferencing, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, use the promo code iPad, and buy Slingbox. Buy a Slingbox and turn your mobile device into a television. With Slingbox, you can watch high-def TV on your smartphone, laptop, or iPad anywhere there's an internet connection. Learn more at slingbox.com/twit. And buy Gazelle, the fast and easy way to sell your used gadgets. Find out what your used Samsung Galaxy, iPhone, or other smartphone is worth at gazelle.com. Aujourd'hui, iPad. Do you think they say iPad, they say iPad in France?
Well, they say Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi?
Instead of
Wi-Fi.
I
like that. Wi-Fi's good.
So,
I'm
going to
say Wi-Fi
iPad.
From now on.
I mean, they know it's iPad, but it's like, hey, iPad. If you're in France, do what the French do.
And the Big Mac.
Le Big Mac?
No, it's the Royale, right? Royale with cheese. Anyway.
No, that's Quarter Pounder.
That's a Quarter Pounder.
Yeah, because they don't do Quarter Pounder there.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to iPad Today.
Oh, hi there.
This is not going to all be in French.
No, because our French is pretty limited, actually. Mine, anyway. Although, I think we could change the name to iPad aujourd'hui, and that'd be okay.
I think it'd be
me.
Fun. iPad aujourd'hui.
Why not? It sounds better.
Très bien.
iPad today, very pedestrian. Très bien.
Très bien.
Très bien.
So, today we're going to talk about the sharing economy.
Yeah, which is a
Sounds like a buzzword.
It's sort of a buzz term.
Yeah.
The whole sharing economy. But what it means, it refers to the influx of apps and services that we've seen, certainly over the last year, the last 2 years, like ride sharing, apartment sharing, stuff like Airbnb. And what are you laughing at?
I don't know.
You're laughing? God, this is going to be one of these shows.
I got a little giggle juice in me.
2 minutes into the show, it's all right.
I'm not even laughing at anything anymore. I'm just laughing.
You're just laughing.
No reason.
Well, it's okay. I mean, there is something somewhat funny about the idea of a pink mustached car picking you up.
Okay, so I saw a picture, must have been on Facebook or Path. Somebody, some friend of mine said, look at this car that has come to pick me up on, what's it called?
Lyft.
L-Y-F-T.
That's right.
And I got fixated on the fact that it had a big mustache on the front of it, and you're telling me that all Lyft cars have a mustache on them.
Yes, the idea behind Lyft is it's a bit like Uber, which, of course, is the car service where you geolocate yourself on an app, you say, pick me up, somebody comes and gets you, the transaction is all based on your credit card information that you've already given the company. Lyft is the same, almost looks exactly the same.
I need a Lyft, you're saying.
My goodness. This is an iPhone app,
right.
So I've blown it up to work with the iPad.
Yeah.
I'm saying I need a Lyft. There aren't any Lyft drivers around me because we're in Petaluma.
Well, okay, this is the first thing to say about all of these, not Airbnb, but all of the ride services, you have to be in a metro
yes.
that supports it.
Correct.
So Lyft is in San Francisco.
Lyft is huge in San Francisco.
Really?
Oh, my gosh. Like, every 10th car has a pink mustache on
so
it.
So what's the... Now, see, I didn't know, so now I'm going to see these, and I'm going to go, oh, is there something strange going on?
You know, I saw a Lyft driver in Petaluma a couple months ago, and I was like, somebody got this guy to take him all the way up to Petaluma.
That's clever marketing.
Very.
Because they're kind of, it's whimsical.
Right.
And you notice it, and then you ask friends, what's with the mustaches? You've seen a lot of them, and they go, I don't know. And then somebody finds out, and they go, oh, I found out what the mustache was. And now you got word of mouth going.
Difference between Lyft and something like Uber is that Uber drivers, now Uber also takes advantage of existing taxi cabs.
But it's kind of like a black car service.
It is.
Where you get a limousine-like experience or town car-like experience.
Yes.
And a professional driver.
There's a certificate that somebody has to have to say, yes, you can drive.
You can be an Uber driver.
Yeah, you're not a felon.
It's basically, in the case of Uber, the original Uber service, people who would be doing this anyway in their spare, you know, they have extra time in between clients, so they sign up for Uber and they're available. But now this has gotten much broader, and Lyft, even a felon could be a Lyft driver.
Yeah, and
anybody,
it's actually somewhat strange. So my friend Anne said to me the other day, I'm going to be a Lyft driver. Sometimes for a couple hours on Saturday, I have nothing better to do, so I'm just going to drive people around in my car and make some money.
And you do make some money, I guess.
Okay. In fact, if I was going to try to be a Lyft driver myself, I would go into driver mode. And it can basically, through the app, I can just go ahead and say, okay, this is what kind of car I have.
They don't in any way vet you?
Well, there is some vetting to be had. I'm just going to go ahead and put this down. But not enough. And the reason is that Lyft is, in a way, I mean, it's like the app version of hitchhiking. I mean, I'm just a person with a car, just some normal civilian. Might need a ride, and now you have a digital way to say, hey, person, can you take me somewhere?
Give me a ride.
Maybe it's not too far out of your way. And there's a, you know,
so here's
some
something
sort of
that worries me.
Price.
I'm looking at the Lyft website, lyft.me. Sign up to be a driver, and then it's got a thing that says, learn about safety. So,
Well, here's a
so they do background checks. They have liability insurance. So if you do get murdered, at least your loved ones will get something for it.
Well, sure.
Background checks.
They want to make sure that you have a valid driver's
license.
You
can't have more than 2 moving violations in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
No major violations like hit and run, reckless driving, no DUI or other drug-related violations, no violent crimes, no sexual offenses, no theft. So you can't have a record.
You can't have a record, but at the same time,
okay driver, not a great driver.
No, you don't have to be a great driver at all. But then again, a lot of taxi cabs drivers aren't great drivers either. They, you know,
cars can't be more than 13 years old.
Sure, which
it's
well,
old.
It cuts down on the, you know,
and they do have a vehicle safety inspection. You can't just sign up now and say I'm going to drive somebody in the next 5 minutes. You have to bring your car in and they have to look at it and put a mustache
on. There is a vetting process.
Yeah.
However, it's not regulated. So once you're a Lyft driver, I mean, it doesn't say anything about the kind of person that you are. Now, of course, they have a rating system, but there have been there's one specific case that was written up, I think, in Valleywag, of course, because it's a Valleywag kind of a story, but a Lyft driver who was kind of stalking this woman because he had her phone number because that was part of the transaction.
Oh, so wait a minute now. If I sign up for Lyft, the driver gets my phone number?
Not anymore. But that was part of a previous version because there's
so
no accounting
the,
for
the
how
mustache,
people may want to, you know, if they pick you up at home.
No, my screen. There you go.
There you go. That's a Lyft car. Oh, they're all over the city.
It's big, and are they always pink?
Always. It's their uniform.
Well, you can't miss it.
No, it's true.
Which is the point, right?
Yeah. I've even, like, hailed one without even calling them, and then they say, can you please go through the app? But the thing about these is kind of interesting is, and this might be just a couple of isolated incidents that have gotten a lot of press, but because they're so easily recognizable in a city, some Lyft drivers say that they're getting harassed by taxi drivers.
Yeah, because, of course.
Because the taxi drivers are like, get out of town. We hate you.
Think about this.
You're undercutting us, and people want to use you, and you're taking away our business. And I haven't heard of any violence, physical violence reports, but, you know, people feeling a little unsafe being a Lyft driver.
Wow.
So this is something where it's like, this is a very interesting idea. Hey, you've got a car. You're not always needing it to get from your point A to point B or commuting or groceries or whatever. Why not make some money?
Here's an actual ad to be a Lyft driver.
To shave the stash.
Oh, no, wait a minute. This is from Uber saying, if you're driving for Lyft, drive for us. So this is competitive, this market.
Well, because Uber's going to say that you get better rates with Uber.
Up to $50 an hour. Real fares, no donations. So a Lyft payment is not a fixed payment, it's a donation?
No, it's fixed.
It's fixed, okay.
Yeah. It's just less. It's less than Uber. But again,
so that's why people like it. And you know,
again, it's a little bit more of a, you're just getting in
somebody's
car.
But it's safer than hitchhiking.
Well, yeah. is safer than hitchhiking, because if you were hitchhiking, then you wouldn't know if somebody was, you know, had many DUIs in the past. But anyway, it's a little bit of a Wild West situation. I think Lyft is great. I use it all the time.
Do you?
A lot of other people I know. Again, this is San Francisco, so it's a
no,
little bit of
a... No, you
have
a car, but that's because, what, parking is so hard? You'd rather just get a Lyft?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or if, you know, if you're going to have wine with dinner, you just don't want to have to worry about it.
Instead of a cab.
Yeah.
If I were an attractive young woman like you, I would probably be reluctant to use it. I mean, do you use it alone?
Yeah.
I'm worried.
Well, maybe then you would like the new offering from competitor Uber, where not only can we both have an Uber ride, but we can split the fare.
That's the new thing.
That's the new thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the whole
So what, before we get off Lyft, it's in L.A., it's in San Francisco. Where else is it? Is it a lot of markets? You should
Lyft
check to see if it's in your
LA,
market.
L.A., San Francisco. I don't think that they're trying to get into New York, and they're having some pushback, of course. From
the cabbies must hate it.
Yeah. And Boston, I believe.
The whole reason for a medallion, well, they will say, is because we want drivers to be professional, be trained. We want all sorts of regulatory oversight over the drivers. But cities often keep, on the pressure of the drivers, keep the number of medallions very low. And really, the other reason for medallions are very expensive. In New York City or San Francisco, it costs you hundreds of thousands of dollars to get a medallion. But they also keep the pool of drivers low. Now, you and I might want there to be more drivers, but if you have too many drivers and there's too little money to be made, right?
Exactly.
So they keep the pool low, which means there's always somewhat of a scarcity of cabs. So these ride-sharing services are kind of free-riding a little bit on this, because they're saying, well, we'll fill in the gaps. We don't care if there's a surplus of drivers. It doesn't bother us. And we don't have to be quite as finicky.
Well, they don't care
about
a surplus of drivers now because they're new.
Right.
But if there's a surplus, it eventually is going to end up affecting Lyft drivers as well. I foresee my friend who just decided to be a Lyft driver. I mean, she's a single woman. She's taking people out to the outer sunset at night. But I don't think she's going to stick with it more than 6 months or so, because it's not like you're going to get rich driving people around for a few hours a week.
No, you do it more for fun.
Yeah.
And I think this is the other thing, point to be made throughout this whole sharing economy that we're going to talk about, is that 99.999% of people are good.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you go through life saying people are good, people are nice, you're going to have wonderful experiences.
Yeah.
And you might occasionally have some bad ones. But in general, it's great.
See, I don't think I'd want to be a Lyft driver, because I don't like the idea of just somebody I don't know sitting in my seat. I'm like, I don't know, maybe you sat on poop.
But you don't
mind
having sitting in somebody's seat that you don't know.
Well,
you don't mind being a rider, but you wouldn't want to be a driver? Seems like it's just as risky on either way.
Well, as a rider, I'm in someone else's car for 10, 15 minutes. It's not my car.
Right.
You know, it's easier for me to be in some gross car for a few minutes.
And I have to admit, riding in a cab can be a dicey experience,
sure,
too.
Yeah. Bunch of weirdos.
Yeah.
So people are nuts. Use good judgment.
Yeah.
But as I was saying, Uber, which is almost, you could say, was the first company that started this whole, hey, you don't always have to take a cab.
I experienced Uber for the first time in Paris during Le Web a couple of years
ago. Which was lovely, wasn't it?
It was really great, but expensive.
Yeah. Well, Paris specifically has very high rates, because
Uber,
they have to compete with taxi cabs
and
that
Uber,
set their rates there.
Uber does something that is a little controversial. Although I think it's brilliant, is the rates fluctuate depending on demand.
Yes.
So the more demand, if it's a rainy night and there's a lot of people out and about, it costs
Friday.
More.
Yeah. They call it surge pricing. And they actually got into a little bit of ethical hot water after the latest storm in New York.
Sandy, yeah.
And there was surge pricing.
Right.
And people took it to seem very insensitive.
It feels like you're taking advantage.
Even though the company was like, you know what, you're right. This feels like poor taste, but really this is algorithmic based.
Yeah, well.
So we weren't trying to, you know, hurt anybody's feelings. But yeah. But Uber has introduced actually interesting new sort of like, let's split the bill. Let's go Dutch. Everybody wants to, you know, everybody's going to split everything.
This isn't a huge feature. If you and I take an Uber and it's on my card, I could say that was a $40 ride. Give me $20.
Yeah. So what you do is
But this way it's done by the software.
Yeah. You hail the Uber.
Right.
And then you say, I'm going to be, you know, Sarah Lane and I are together. I will invite Sarah Lane to pay her half of the transaction.
Right.
I could deny it. So you're not going to be able to charge me unless I say, yeah,
right.
Okay, friend,
right.
We can swap
out. Or you could
out.
Use those other services that we've talked about. What's the one that we do?
Venmo?
You could use Venmo, too.
Yeah.
But this does it automatically.
Yeah, it's just nice. Within the app.
I have to say,
Uber's a lot with other people, so it's easier than just saying, who got this last time?
Right.
Or, you know, this ride is not really as expensive as that ride, so maybe you should also buy me a glass of rosé.
It's also friction-free. It's kind of, it just happens.
Exactly.
It's automatic. And it doesn't, it's not, you don't feel like you're being a greedy person saying, can you pay me for this? It's just automatic. And this is really what these companies are selling with the app experience, is the experience. Uber's amazing. You say, get me a car. You see on the map the dot coming closer.
Yes.
You see a picture of the driver and his car or her car. You know when they arrive, they see a picture of you. The experience is wonderful.
Yes.
I presume Lyft is something kind of magical.
It's almost exactly the same.
It's magical.
Once a driver has said, all right, I'll take your fare, then you're watching the car on a map getting closer
it's so
to
cool.
you. They're rounding the corner and you see them doing it.
Speaking of magical taxi magic, same thing.
Yes.
So there's a number of people trying to this service. It's a good idea, but Uber started it.
There's also, this is just a little bit of a mention. The last few times I've been in the back of an Uber, and Uber has this taxi service now where I can say, yeah, I just want an Uber taxi. Because you can see, well, what's the highest concentration of either taxis or they call
it
Uber
X's. Oh,
and
I'll just take whatever's closest.
I only have
$3 in my pocket or whatever.
And so, they've said, oh, do you like Uber? And I say, yeah, I love it. And they say, have you heard of Flywheel? It used to be called Cabulous.
Flywheel.
And I say,
That's a good name. I've
heard of it. Why? And then they try to get you to start using Flywheel because the rates are better for taxi drivers.
Huh.
It's all very interesting.
Yeah.
There's a lot of infighting and power struggles in the transportation game.
You know what? It's the internet, and technology is changing everything. It comes to your business sometimes whether you like it or not.
So the last time I ordered myself up an apartment on Airbnb was last December. It was in Paris.
I'm so jealous because we paid for a hotel. You got this cute apartment.
Yeah.
This wasn't last year, but 2 years ago in Île-Saint-Louis.
That's right.
We were across the street in a hotel that cost so much more. You got a great location. And I thought, this is great. This Airbnb is amazing.
Yeah. That one particularly, I remember it was a very small studio, but it was, you know, Île-Saint-Louis.
It worked.
One of the nicest places.
Now, so this is the same idea, except that instead of a lift, somebody offers their place.
That's right. So it's your apartment that maybe you stay at your boyfriend's half of the month, and there's really no reason for it just to sit there empty. And so you wouldn't mind if Leo booked it for a couple of weeks.
So is it mostly that, or is it people who do this? This is like, I bought this place just for Airbnb or just to rent it.
The premise is you're renting out your place. Hey,
it's not a professional rental.
Well, it's becoming a little bit more blurred because, and I mean, I troll Airbnb just for fun constantly.
Look at these.
Because it's just fun. Like, look at this. Spacious studio apartment in the Jordan in Amsterdam for $135 a night.
Wow.
Madrid, Spain, 34. Room center B&B special rates. Okay, well, this all looks good. If I see something in Florence, nice apartment, you can click in there. You can see more photos and say, oh, cool, it's got like a little terrace there where you can have your
coffee. This one seems more risky for the person renting it out than the person who's using it to get a place to stay.
Well, yeah, because you have to hope that people don't, you know,
this
trash
is your
apartment.
Place and you're letting people. And exactly. There have been a couple of well-publicized incidents where that did, in fact, happen.
Exactly. Not many.
And it's been
a
while.
But there,
Airbnb took some steps.
Oh, look, they've got a little elliptical here. This is like my perfect apartment. And this, you know, this price is, it might be too much for you, but for almost all major cities in the world, these prices look really attractive compared to hotel prices
right.
in the same area. You know, in Florence, it's like you're not going to get an apartment-sized hotel room for something like this with a little kitchen for this price. It's just
similar issues here where cities are saying, we don't want this.
Mm-hmm.
We have a hotel tax for a reason.
Yep.
This is basically people going into the hotel business illegally, New York City, for instance. It's also controversial.
Yeah, New York has a law that says if somebody is staying anywhere under 30 days, you need a hotel license.
Right.
That's what you are because
right.
we can't have people, you know, there's liability issues and that sort of thing. But Airbnb is awesome. I mean, I've used Airbnb, I don't know, always internationally. Oh, 4 times?
Yeah.
With great success. Good.
And yeah,
I've never had a bad experience. Yeah. I've found it to be just lovely.
So we paid a lot of money when we went to the Super Bowl in January because all the hotels in New Orleans jacked the rates up.
Of course.
And I looked and I saw these great Airbnb places. They were still expensive, but nowhere near as expensive as the hotels. And they were in great New Orleans neighborhoods. And I just thought, boy, I don't know what I was thinking. I should have done that.
Yeah.
So from now on, I think I will try that.
It's a little bit more of an adventure. I mean, I think...
Yeah,
that's
the thing. It's for younger people who are willing to have...
I think it's you kind of want to just feel like part of the neighborhood. And again, right. You're not going to get the amenities like maid service and room service.
Do you have to
service.
Make your own bed?
You don't have to do anything while you're there.
Okay.
But you know, it's not going
what
to magically happen.
What is the issue when you leave? Do you have to...
There's a cleaning fee that's included in your rate. So you just,
They clean up after you, but not during your stay.
I mean, if you're a jerk, you might leave it in shambles. Right. But yeah, that's all sort of built in.
Right.
But I don't know. I like to have a kitchen. I like to go to the market and buy some stuff and feel like I live there. It's delightful.
Metro Scenes, when he came to visit us, used Airbnb and stayed in Petaluma in a place that was rented on Airbnb.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah. Well, there you go.
He says he stayed in either Creamery, which is an interesting neighborhood. The Creamery neighborhood, we call it.
The Creamery neighborhood?
Right out by the dairy. Have you been out there?
Oh, that kind of Creamery.
Yeah.
The Creamery in San Francisco refers to, like... where people have meetings about startups.
Really?
Yeah. It's a little coffee house, sort of.
Oh, it's a coffee house. Yeah, yeah. No, this is where we have an actual dairy because we are in the country.
Because you're in Petaluma.
Yeah.
Yeah, butter and eggs. Yeah. Finally, this last app is the only iPad native app, but it is awesome. And I think it falls under the sharing economy rules because it's about hotels that at the last minute realize, okay, well, we're not gonna get these 5 last rooms rented out the traditional way, so we're just gonna lower the prices for everybody who's last minute. So this is awesome. So for example, if I were to, I don't know, where should we look? Should we look in, how about Charleston? Charleston, South Carolina, which I've never been to, but I would love to go. And, you know, Charleston has somewhat expensive rates. Do we go landscape here? No, it's just portrait. So we've got Charleston Place, normally $360 a night, $259. Now, of course, it's $520 in Charleston right now. The rates cut off at 2 a.m. local time.
Oh.
So, I mean, if your flight was delayed and you were, you know, maybe stuck somewhere and you were like, it's midnight and I'm screwed, Hotel Tonight has saved my tush a couple of times. We got the Harbor View Inn. It's usually $239. It's $199. I think I've actually looked at that place before. And, I mean, it's exactly what it is. It's last-minute stuff at a hotel.
It's unlike Priceline, though.
That would
you
normally
can see
be more expensive.
Where you're going to be staying. Because I think that's really what Priceline is also. Or Hotwire. There are other places where you could say, I want a place. You could say the area, but you can't specify the hotel, and you can get a great deal on a hotel. But I think it's often excess inventory. Same idea.
Yeah, it is. That's exactly right.
Yeah, but in that case, you can't say ahead of time what hotel. This, at least you know where you're getting a place.
Right.
Which I like.
Well, and that, I mean, they do this for airlines as well.
Right.
I mean, an airline is never going to be like, oh, yeah, you want to fly 2 hours from now? We'll give you a great rate. They want to charge you 5 times as much.
Right.
But secretly, they just want to sell the seat. So if they think nobody's going to sit in it, you can get last-minute deals with third-party sites. Hotel Tonight has a nice iPhone app as well. This, of course, is the iPad app. But it's well-designed. I mean, they've got
So you might want to put this on now
in case,
just for when you get stranded.
Exactly. You don't want to have to think about it.
Nope.
Lake Tahoe, what do we got? It's 2:22 p.m. daylight time in Tahoe. We've got some decent rates. Again, these rates start looking a lot more attractive the closer you get to the end of the day, the cutoff.
That's really interesting. You really want to do it at midnight.
You kind of.
It's like this room, if somebody doesn't stay here right now. Yeah.
You kind of want to be desperate.
So if you like, it's kind of a game of chicken you're playing with a hotel.
Yeah, right.
Who blinks first?
How badly do you want that shower? Because if you can hang out for a couple more hours, by the time
the bars close at 2,
it'll be a cheaper shower.
Go right up to 159. And wait. Do you know about Neighbor Goods? This is Mickey Krimmel's company.
Yeah.
Same idea, sharing economy. But instead of sharing a car or a house, you're sharing your ladder or your saw or your drill.
You know, I interviewed Mickey way back in the Green Tech Today days about Neighbor Goods, which was brand new at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't have an app, but they have a website, and that means you can use it on your iPad. 559 people are sharing 375 items near here, which is hysterical. Just I wonder, what kind of stuff can we get? A stepladder, a shredder, snowboard gear, platform goth boots, a netbook, a lunchbox, an octopus. An octopus?
An octopus?
An octopus. A sledgehammer, an electric hedge trimmer, a Pekingese dog named Max. Now, see, I'm thinking I could let Ozzy, people could come and borrow the dog for a night. If you really were lonely and you were traveling and you missed your animal, you could just have Ozzy curl up next to you for a night. I don't know if this sharing economy is really working in this space.
Well, look at Ozzy's like, are you talking
Do you like this
about
idea?
Me?
How about a creepy bronze we smiling
dog
thing?
Dog just run by. Dog cameo.
He's available.
That's neighborgoods.net, by the way.
You could borrow this.
What?
Creepy bronze smiling thing.
Wait, why is that actually?
I don't know, but I'd love to borrow it.
What? What the heck?
It's beat up. It was $30. If you're in Venice, you might want to borrow it.
Neighborgoods.net.
You know,
this is Petaluma, so again,
you never know.
It's a weird.
You never know.
Sample.
Hey, though,
of the population.
Effin Dunn's right. He says if you're a Lyft driver, maybe you want to borrow a Rottweiler just to sit in the side.
There you go.
Next to you.
Right. Sharing economy apps helping sharing economy apps.
I like that.
I mean, that's just a small handful of all these apps that are designed to help us help each other.
There's something I like about it. It's very altruistic and at the same time, there's a benefit to everybody.
Remember when we talked about Get Around? This was a few months ago.
What was that?
Get Around is a similar car sharing app, but it's, hey, I never drive on the weekend. Would you like to rent my car?
Huh. So it's a car rental.
It's a car rental place.
No driver involved.
I'm not involved. I say, if you want to rent my car, it's...
I'll just leave it here.
$20 an hour or
whatever.
The keys
under the mat. Just
hop in. Or we meet at a designated location.
Oh, you get it.
Because,
okay.
You know, you can't really leave keys around in the city.
Eric in the chat room says these are dopey hippie ideas.
Dopey hippie ideas?
They are.
Interesting.
But I don't know how dopey they are, but they are hippie.
They're hippie because why? Hippie about
because,
it?
Because, man, you know, private property, man, it just doesn't, it's not, you know, you shouldn't have it.
These apps are all based on capitalism people who built the app. So I don't know if I would call them hippie ideas.
That's what's interesting
about no mistake.
Silicon Valley.
Okay.
And John Markoff observed this in his book, What the Dormouse Said. It said hippie meets capitalism. That's what Steve Jobs was. He was a total capitalist hippie. That is what's going on in Silicon Valley, dude.
What he's a hippie? What? Because he wore Birkenstocks?
No, Jobs was a hippie because he was a hippie. He was a hippie.
All right.
But at the same time, he was not shy about being a capitalist.
Oh, all right.
You grew up with hippies, so you know hippie.
Yeah, don't even get me started. Yeah, my mom's watching the show. I'm not going to tell any of your secrets, Mom.
Was she a hippie?
My parents were they lived in the woods without electricity.
Wow.
I mean, they weren't like animals, but
Did they live in a cave?
It's a long story. I see these old pictures and I'm like, oh, God.
No, because,
long hair.
That's the generation. That was just our generation.
That's
how we were. And it was good.
Yes.
And we were stoned out of our skulls, so we didn't even know.
For a few years.
Right? You asked me, I was in the woods, man? Well, I don't remember that, man.
Yeah, and then we had a kid, man, and we had to, get jobs.
Whoa, dude.
What are we going to do? This is harsh. Now we just sound like skaters.
Manila, man.
Now we just sound like little surfer grommets. All right, I'm out of sharing economy apps. At least
you're done
for this
sharing
show.
With us.
I mean, we don't want to go.
I'm going to share something with you.
Well, okay.
You want me to do an ad first?
Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to share with me.
Oh, I was going to share something else after the ad. I'll
really?
Share you an actual thing.
Okay.
This is the virtual thing.
Tangible item?
Tangible item.
Oh, I'm not used to those.
GoToMeeting is all bits. GoToMeeting from Citrix, but it's the best bits ever. You know, especially during the summertime, getting together with your team or meeting clients, tough because everybody's traveling, they're out and about. But GoToMeeting lets you meet face-to-face no matter where you are. You know, sometimes people say, I don't want to do meetings. You got to do meetings. I hate it. I didn't want to do meetings when we started Twit, but I realized after a while as the team grows, it's the easiest, most efficient way to get ideas, to create, to cut through the clutter, to get things done. That's why you got to have meetings. And GoToMeeting makes those meetings even more efficient. You fire it up on your Mac or your PC. You can meet with anybody, anywhere, on anything, like an iPad, of course, iPhone, an Android device. You can even present from an iPad. You can have a, you could be the meeting presenter on your iPad. It'll use your camera. It'll use the microphone and the speakers, so you don't have to have a phone with you. It'll use the internet for the audio and video. It's fabulous. You could be out in the out by the pool with your iPad, relaxing and still getting work done. Now, this is how I like to do business. I want it to be efficient. I don't want meetings to waste time. I want meetings to get things done, and GoToMeeting is all about that. You share your screen so you're on the same page. You share your picture so you're seeing eye to eye. I want you to try it free 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click that try it free button right there, and use the promo code iPad. GoToMeeting.com, promo code iPad, 30 days free. Of course, the apps are always free. You could be meeting in minutes. GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing.
Sure is, Leo.
So I got a letter.
You got a letter. Okay.
From Shonari Smith.
All right.
My name is Shonari at Jedijah. Jedijah on Twitter.
Okay.
Longtime listener, watcher. I'm sending along a product that you might be interested in. My friend Stanley Taub is the inventor of the iRoller.
Okay.
He also does the Groove record cleaner. He's they're on Amazon.
Wow.
Yep. But he sent us some. This, or you can go to sktproductions.com. There's an iRoller for you.
Liquid-free touchscreen display cleaner.
So we, one of the problems you have with touchscreens is you get fingers on them.
Constantly.
Yeah. So
in fact,
this,
of course, I just cleaned my screen before the show.
See,
it doesn't look as bad as it usually does.
I intentionally let my screen.
And it looks awful.
From your
my
angle, you can really see it.
Disgusting.
Yeah. So,
I mean, that is salmonella waiting to happen. And you heard West
Nile
it, virus
if I tilt
too.
This maybe a little bit. You know, isn't that funny? When you're looking straight on, you don't see any fingerprints. But believe
dirty.
Me, it is filthy. So let's open this up and see if this thing works. I don't understand how it could work. Because it's not wet. It's just a...
You know what? But the smart cover... It's
I know. We
doesn't
talked
work
about
anymore,
that.
But it, for a couple of years, it worked just fine.
So this has
way.
A little
it's basically
protector
just,
on it.
It's just smoothing out the smudges.
No, now, it's sticky.
I can see it from
it's
my
picking up.
Angle that it's definitely going away.
Now it's worse.
No, it's
don't
better.
Do it like that.
Yeah.
Do it slowly and gently. And see, then you could peel off that layer.
Oh, is that what happens?
It's like a lint brush
it's
for
a
your
lint
iPad.
Brush for your iPad.
I don't know if this is the most efficient way to do it. Because you're right. You could just use your smart cover and do it.
Or a cloth,
a handkerchief.
Yeah.
A tissue.
I like
isn't that interesting?
The entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah,
I don't
the
know
eye
how
roller.
To open mine.
After removing eye roller from the package, place thumb on silver dot on the case. Gently press down and roll case cover all the way open until cover locks into place. Remove clear plastic
I like
liner.
The way it feels.
Place roller down evenly on surface. When finished, unlock cover, pressing down to refresh roller. You could use this several times. Rinse under tap water. So you don't. This doesn't ever wear out. It's just a little like tacky. It's a little tacky.
Weird.
Isn't that weird? And then it has a little thing.
Oh, I see.
Put it in your pocket like that.
This is kind of cool.
It's kind of interesting. Anyway, thank you.
Eye roller.
Shonari.
This could be good for cat dander on my couch.
That's what I would use it for.
That's what I would use it for too. It's
what the world needs, that, says Digitim, is a dishwasher safe tablet.
And love, sweet love. Sorry.
I don't think I'd want to run my iPad through the dishwasher.
No. I don't think so.
All right. Moving along.
So,
I just thought I'd share that with you
thank
since
you.
He sent me two.
No, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff. IMDb, the app, was missing...
IMDb 2.
IMDb 3.
IMDb.
IMDb Infinity plus 1.
IMDb. The Internet Movie Database.
Was always crucially missing something in the iPad app.
You couldn't buy tickets.
That's right. Now you can.
What?
It's like you're finishing my sentences.
Well, what?
Yeah, that's right. So IMDb is great if you're like, hey, I love this actor. What's he been in?
I use that exactly for that purpose.
Yeah. You want to see, or like the other day, I thought that I saw the gossip columnist Perez Hilton in an episode of The Sopranos.
You did, in fact.
Where did I go?
Yeah.
To IMDb, which tells me that sort of information. I mean, I could have Googled it, but IMDb is sort of, they've got editors who are caring about this stuff.
Well, in fact, a lot of times if you Google a movie star's name or a name of a movie, the first link will be IMDb.
Exactly.
It's nice if you're looking at a person, a director, a writer, or an actor, because they'll show you everything they've ever done. It's really, I love IMDb.
I do too.
So I fired it up here.
So you've got the app going.
So I've updated it, so I should be able to buy tickets now?
Yes, exactly. So this is, if you're looking at the homepage here of IMDb, you've got in theaters, front and center. So
right.
This is just like, it's not even like, hey, who do you want to look up? So if I say, Pacific Rim, I'm interested in that. I've heard it's really awesome. I can see information about the movie, who's in it. I can go ahead and say Charlie Day. Let's find out more about Charlie Day. Great. But maybe I'm just like, all I want to do is like find out if it's playing near me. Showtimes and Tickets is a new tab in the upper left-hand corner that did not previously live there. So if I go ahead and click on this, in 15 theaters near Petaluma, and it says closest one is Boulevard 14 Cinemas, 0.2 miles away.
That's
would you
right
like to
here,
buy
yeah,
tickets?
Yeah.
You can watch it either in 2D or 3D.
I'm watching
those
the trailer, too.
Those are your options.
This is,
yeah.
This is very much of a different app than it used to be. It really just was an encyclopedia of movie information.
Well, I think IMDb realized that for the iPad specifically, and apps like Flixster made a lot more sense.
I use Flixster.
You want to use it to find out about sort of movie trivia,
right.
But often you want to use it as a tool to go to a movie.
So this is a little
prettier
than Flixster, but maybe a little more cluttered. I don't know. Okay. So here's our local theater. This is what I use Flixster for all the time. It took me more clicks in IMDb to get to this point. But I, you know, what movie do I want to see? So this is what's playing. Oh, you know, I haven't seen Now You See Me. Let's click the tickets. And it does use Fandango. So it's, you know, it's similar to Flixster or other apps like this.
Yeah. And in certain theaters, like the theater that I like the best in San Francisco, doesn't use Fandango because they have their own ticket.
So how do you buy tickets?
Well, through their own service.
You can't use this.
No.
Oh.
It's not going to...
Is that the Kabuki?
Yeah, it's the Kabuki.
Yeah, you know.
So there are limitations, obviously, depending on where you are. If you have an Alamo Draft House, for example, they're not going to have Fandango integration.
Right.
It's a little bit more of the big guys.
So maybe the theaters that serve booze in the theater, if there's like a commonality here. They're not on Fandango.
They just do their own thing.
Because both the Kabuki and Alamo have... You can...
You can. You can eat, too.
They'll give you a taco.
There's nothing better than eating and drinking like a gluttonous weirdo in your seat.
I actually love that.
I mean, you can eat at movie theaters, but it's like the menu is limited.
It's crap. It's
to
popcorn.
You know, hot tamales and popcorn.
And then you have to go out.
Which are two great things to eat at a movie theater.
And but when she says hot tamales, she doesn't mean Mexican food. She means a candy.
The candy, hot tamales. They serve them in a box, and you eat them a certain way, so they're even hotter.
They don't even taste like tamales.
No, you eat them like a bunny.
And that makes it hotter.
Sometimes you do three at a time. Yeah. And it kind of burns your lips a little bit.
Oh, do you ever have lick 'em and stick 'em?
No. What's that?
They're like little gooey candies. Lick 'em. They're little hats.
Well, that's disgusting. And then you stick them somewhere other than your stomach?
Well, it's the same thing as eating three at a time like a bunny.
No, you're eating
them. What the hell is that?
You're not licking candy and putting it on your face. That is dumb.
That's why boys and girls don't sit together at the movie theater.
No, unless they're kissing.
Ew!
So Google Maps for iOS has also been updated. This is actually something that we should all be able to rejoice and benefit from.
I am excited about this, yeah.
So Google Maps, not only now, let's open it up. It actually just looks better on the iPad. Where are you? Google Maps, here you are. Looks better on the iPad, but we now have live traffic updates. This is actually, you know, going to be better still as we figure out how, you know, Waze is going to play out as a Google property.
Yeah, they just bought them.
But live traffic updates are now part of the app. You know, when you're in turn-by-turn direction mode, you have a new explore option. So if you're hanging out in a particular area, where's my explore? Let's look at Lenox Avenue. I don't really know why I'm looking at that.
This begs the question, does anybody use Apple Maps now?
Oh, I sometimes do when I click on a map icon within another app and it just opens Apple Maps as default.
Yeah.
And if it's not weirdly wrong, then I just it just seems
Dvorak
like
Dvorak swears that Apple Maps are more reliable and accurate than the Google Maps. I just find that hard to believe.
Well,
he's a crotchety old man.
Well, what do you mean?
He says
better than it used to be. I think that's true.
He says that except for with the well-publicized exceptions, actually Apple Maps is very good. He thinks better than Google Maps. I like Google Maps.
I don't know if I would agree with that.
Yeah. Now, if you use Siri to ask for directions, you're going to get Apple Maps.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. You can't say, Siri, give me Google Maps.
Right.
You can have it open Google Maps, but you can't actually really interact as Google Maps as your default
Yeah, that's
Maps
the problem.
App.
Yeah.
But there are some cool things. So you can get traffic updates. If you're looking for directions,
they got the Places is integrated in with the Zagat reviews.
Yeah, so I'm looking.
I like that.
At Bay and 18th in Miami. I don't know why how I got here, but let's
look,
say I'm like the Jam Cafe.
Joint.
That kind of looks cool. It looks like it's sort of like along the Intercoastal.
And
reviews.
Get the
well, that's stupid. How about Sultry Eyes Lash Studio?
If you tap the tech, don't you get more?
Well,
no, that's it. Huh?
It has to be have been reviewed.
Right.
Burger and Beer Joint, 233 reviews.
There you go.
It's not that expensive. If I click more on Burger and Beer Joint, I see that in general, people say, yeah, this is a 4-star place. You get some reviews from people. I can go ahead and participate from here as well. You get the website. So it's a little bit of a Maps experience that I know a lot of Android users would be like, we're so used to this already.
Yeah.
And that you have integrated in Google for the web.
We have new Google Maps on Android.
New
Google Maps.
You're always a step ahead.
Well, I know. You know, some of the features look like they're in here on the iOS too. So
you
I'm
also have Google offers for certain deals from brands.
Oh, yeah.
If you're nearby, that's something that we've all become more and more familiar with. Indoor maps as well. You can do walkthroughs from the Google Maps app for iOS. And again, it's lovely on the iPad, just as it is on the iPhone. In fact, it's kind of nicer on the iPad, although you might not always have your iPad as your primary map service. But it's good. It's free. It's a no-brainer for downloading.
And Andy reminds us of that duh tip we had a while ago, that if you want to get Google Maps to launch, you ask for transit directions in Siri. And since Apple's Maps don't have transit directions, Siri's smart enough to open the Google Maps. So that's one way you can get directions. The problem is you're going to get transit directions.
I had forgotten about that.
That was a duh tip.
But you often want that. That's exactly
well,
what you want.
Or if you don't, at least you've got Google Maps open now. And you
sure.
can say, click the car.
Can't you say open Google Maps, though?
Don't know.
Let's try it. Open Google Maps.
Which app would you like to use? Maps.
Yeah, well, that's interesting.
Here Maps, Google Earth.
It's
like,
it's like
would you
Maps.
Like these other Google products?
But not Google Maps.
But not Google Maps.
To the power of two or shopper.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, Siri, I've had enough of you.
That's Siri being passive aggressive.
Well, that's just silly. It's like, were you talking about Google Plus or Chrome or something else that Google made or not? Hey, speaking of Chrome, Chrome for iOS has also been updated. So not a huge update, but you can, you'll like this. When you're in Chrome, you can open Google Links in the app instead of just through the browser. For example, if you want to follow a link to YouTube, it'll dump you over to the YouTube app. Same thing with Maps or Google Plus. So if you start in Chrome, you can stay within the Google ecosystem of services. That's new. Also, you have access to browser history that was weirdly not available on the iOS Chrome app before. And you can also view your data savings in bandwidth management settings, which is like, what? What does that mean? Google is basically saying, listen, Chrome is designed to use less bandwidth for searches. So it's not only snappier for you, but if you're on a data plan, you're actually saving data. And we're going to track that to prove to you that we're doing this.
They're pre-compressing the images, yeah. But you can opt in on that. It's not not automatic. It'll say, do you want to do this?
Right.
And then you say yes. If you don't, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
I'm a fan.
So,
it's funny, though, because I'm looking at my iPad here, and I use Safari, and I use Apple Maps on this. I, for some reason, I use Android, so of course, in those cases, I'll use the Google products, but including Chrome. But on the Mac or the iPad, I feel like, well, I should use Apple apps. You don't feel that way, obviously. You feel no loyalty whatsoever.
Well, you mean Safari versus Chrome, for example?
Yeah.
I say if it's the best, then that's what I use. But then
let me try this. They're saying
I actually really, really like Chrome, but Safari is annoying because so many links and other apps will open Safari by default.
That's why I feel like I'm stuck there anyway.
Yeah. So I mean, I wouldn't say, yeah, I like Google better, and that's always the best option because sometimes you just have to do things roundabout ways on the iPad. But no, I don't think just because Apple makes its own version of a product that other people do that it's better or that I have some allegiance to it.
Right.
No way, man.
No, it's a computer. You get to use what you want.
Yeah. There was a Tumblr security hole.
I saw that on iOS only, though.
It was on iOS only. It has been patched.
But you
should change your password because it could have been grabbed in a plain text document.
Yeah. Now, if you only... correct me if I'm wrong. My thought was if you only are at home with this, you don't have to worry. It's if you're on a Wi-Fi network out in the wild. No? I didn't quite understand
how it
worked.
Okay. I don't know if that's true, actually.
Well, Tumblr's advice was that if you use Tumblr on iOS, the Tumblr app, you should update your password. And this is really important, if you use the same password on other sites, you want to fix it there, too.
Yes.
A strong reason for not doing that.
Right. In fact, even Tumblr, I got an email today. I think I deleted it already. But it said, hi, sarah@sarahlane.com. We're so sorry. Here's what happened. We urge you to... maybe I saved it. We urge you to change your password or use a password generator like 1Password.
They recommended 1Password and LastPass.
Mm-hmm.
And they said if you do that, then you don't have to worry about this. But it's... you know, I find on mobile devices I tend to use the same password because I want it to be something I can remember easily and type easily instead of a long, random, complicated password.
On mobile devices, I find more and more that I just use Facebook login.
That's a good solution.
I keep
Facebook secure.
If you hate Facebook, yeah. I know you don't want to see those buttons, but sometimes when it's the option, I'm like, one click and I'm in.
No, I agree with you. In fact, it's one reason I can't delete Facebook, because I need the login.
You need Facebook Connect.
I need the login. Yeah, that's nice. But then use a good password on Facebook, and better yet, turn on second-factor authentication, which Facebook supports.
Yeah.
Then it'll either send you a text message, or you'll use the Facebook app to, a code generator to generate an extra code. And that way, you really are secure if you're using Facebook Connect plus the two-factor authentication on Facebook.
Yeah, you're pretty good.
That's a good
to
way
go.
To do it. Yeah.
Yeah. First, before we go...
Tumblr does not do that, by the way. They do not use Facebook Connect, which makes me mad.
Well... why would they? They're a Yahoo property, after all.
Well, but even when they weren't.
I know. They never did. Well, Tumblr is, you know, has its own suite of issues. This is just the latest one of them. And also, there's all these promoted things in my Tumblr feed now, which is like, ugh, just what I need. Hey, really quick.
That's right. You mean there's ads. Yeah.
Well, there,
there's a lot of ads.
There's some sponsored stuff.
Gets in the way of the porno. I'm going porno.
Well,
ad
they're trying
for a
to
movie?
Get rid of that for you as well.
Oh, no, really? I'm
trying to get rid of all this Tumblr
porn
accounts.
I saw David Karp on the Colbert Report.
Yes.
And I think he implied that, in fact, I think he was very explicit. He said, no, we believe in free speech. We will not limit what's on there. Is Yahoo going to change that?
Well, they're making it harder for it to basically surface into your dashboard, which is sort of the Tumblr
stream. Oh, by accident. Right.
So that sort of
That's
thing.
Appropriate.
Well, yeah.
You wouldn't want
stuff is getting buried.
Adult images to show up.
Although
in your...
today, so you know that there's this sort of this meme type thing on Tumblr where it's, I'm going to use F, but like F yeah something .tumblr.com.
Yeah, I love
that's
that.
That's a whole thing.
Yeah,
F yeah cats or
yeah.
you know. What
the
I
word subscribe
is.
To many of those.
Today, I look at my Tumblr dashboard for the first time in a few days, and it's this really weird like horror movie type like animated GIF, and it's like. F yeah, like haunted, I don't know, whatever. And I'm like, I'm going to unfollow this account. I don't know why I'm following it. I don't even know why I ever did that.
It was promoted?
It was promoted. And it took me a minute to figure it out because I've never seen anything like that before. That was annoying.
In Yahoo's defense, Tumblr started this like the day before Yahoo bought them. This was not a Yahoo initiative. But it does seem to be getting taken off.
And that's fine.
Right.
Sure. I mean, we're used to that on Facebook.
You got to make some money.
Some of that is happening on web Twitter and this and that. But You know, nothing lasts forever, right? So Tumblr, you change your password if you're a Tumblr user. And just, you know, stay safe. Really quick, another kind of interesting little story. A Flurry, which is an app analytics company, it's basically, it runs and takes data from about 300,000 different mobile apps. So it's a pretty good sample
size.
It's
also a delicious frozen treat at McDonald's.
No, that's a McFlurry.
Well, same thing.
Do they still have those there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Just wondering. I know they got rid of their salads because nobody was buying
them. They got rid of the salads?
Yeah. That's what I heard.
I kept meaning to buy one. I kept meaning to get one. Darn it.
Well, because it's all about goodwill, right? It's not because they think anyone's going to get
them. Nobody's
going to
buy a salad at McDonald's.
No, why would you do that? That's stupid. Anyway, Flurry says paid apps are on the decline. People don't want to buy apps. So back from 2010 to 2012, about 80 to 84% of apps were free. This is on iOS. So this is not taking into account Android, although on Android the number is even higher for free apps.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Now, 90% of iOS apps are free. I think the reason for that is not because...
Freemium is what they are.
It's exactly. Not because developers are like, we just want to be hippies and love y'all. It's because of in-app purchases.
Capitalism meets hippie.
Candy Crush Saga...
Perfect example.
...is one of the most successful in-app purchasing apps out there.
Yeah, it's free,
...is pulling in upwards of $660,000 a day for the company.
You know,
in-app purchases.
Electronic Arts released the revenue numbers for Simpsons Tapped Out, which is my current favorite.
Yes.
That's, again, a free game, and you can play it completely free, but there's certainly a temptation to buy donuts for real cash. They made $10 million last month, $50 million total. They say this is as profitable as our console games. This is hugely profitable for a free game.
Mm-hmm.
So there's real money to be made.
But at the same time, and we try to do our best at explaining when an app is free, that it might really be free or it might just be free to have fun for a few minutes before you have to start paying. Candy Crush is a great example of that. I mean,
Can you not play it without... paying money? Because I haven't paid any money.
You get to a certain point and then you have to...
At some point you really need to.
It'll get you. And then it's almost like a subscription service where it's like you never really stop, so the app ends up getting a lot more money from you in the long term.
Much more.
Than it did for, $2.99.
How much could you charge?
Beginning.
Exactly. You could charge a few bucks for an app. I don't know how much I've spent on donuts. I don't want to
know.
Anything
over $5 for a game and people go, oh,
yeah, I've spent a lot more.
$6.99? No way. Even though you're paying $6.99 in Candy Crush
for a month. If somebody said, Tapped Out, it's $75, you'd go, well, I'm not buying that. But I bet you many... Now, they say that it's interesting because they also talked about the percentage of people who end up spending cash in the game. And it's fairly low. They say most players play for free. But maybe 10% buy. But they buy enough that it makes it very, very profitable.
Exactly. So that's the way we're all going. Or of course, there's in-ads, too. That would be another way that a developer could make money without actually charging the consumer. And I know I've learned to just kind of ignore them. If I'm like, oh, there's an ad version. If I like the app enough and there's a paid-for version, I'll go ahead and upgrade. But it doesn't ruin the experience if there are ads at the bottom most of the time.
To Apple's credit, they do on the iTunes App Store listing say what the in-app purchases are, don't they? I mean, they say that there's in-app purchases.
Yeah.
They said the most popular in-app purchases, which is kind of weird. But they show you that you will be spending money. What they don't tell you, and only we can do that, is how playable the game is without spending money.
Right. Yeah. And I think that that's what's frustrating for a lot of people. Yeah. It's like, oh, this seemed so cool, and now I've hit a brick.
It's just not playable.
Well, a monetary
and
app
I frequently,
brick, and now I don't want to play anymore.
Right, I frequently don't recommend apps as app caps if the playability requires spending money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. Now, I have to say, I always pay. It's funny, when there's ad and ad free, I almost always pay for the ad free.
Well, me too.
I don't.
But I don't know if I would do that if I wasn't hosting the show. I think I might be a little bit more, let's
and using
be selective.
Leo's credit card.
All right. Well, you know what? It's research for the company.
No, and I encourage you to. Because I'll tell you why I do it.
I like how you encourage me to. Like I sometimes have this, ethical dilemma.
No,
what
you don't.
Do
huh? You
do?
Don't ever, pause even, hover for a second over the
on
button.
On i5, all the apps I buy are on my phone and
why?
My account. Because it's too hard to switch back and forth.
Oh, You'd have to have a special phone.
Yeah.
Just as you have a special
iPhone. And that's sucky, too, because then it turns into a phone that you don't
expensive.
Really use in real life.
Yeah, because you have so many apps on it that you don't really want. Or, It's very easy. This iPad that I use on the show is the show's iPad because it has so many apps on it. But ironically, it's tied to my other iPad account, so I end up getting all those apps on my every time I go home, I have to delete like five apps. Because I just did iPad today, and there's all this stuff on it.
Oh, yeah. It was like my app cap that you pretended you were interested in and that
mostly
sort of thing.
Mostly it's that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know how it works with you.
No, I like to pay for apps if there's a ad-free version. Not because I'm not like you. The ads don't bother me. But I think I like to support developers. I want if it's an app I really like and they deserve some credit, I want to give them some money. Although I wonder, do you think they make more money on the ads than they do on the cash? They might.
I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, some of the ads are like, oh, they're all obviously using the same system. Some of them seem like they've got their own personal stuff. I don't know.
Right.
Developers, write us and tell us. Right. How much are you making? And be honest. We'd like to see receipt stubs. Just, you know, so we can report the facts.
You do see studies from time to time, and there was a recent study how many people on Android are buying versus how many people on iPhone. And traditionally, it's always been assumed that developers make more money on the iOS platform. But Android is almost caught up and in some cases is ahead of that. It's interesting. It's starting to shift.
Yeah.
And I think people should buy apps. You know, we were talking about this on Twitter. You go to download.com or some of these downloading sites, and they try to get you to install toolbars and stuff. This is how they're making money. Formerly shareware authors who would ask for money and make a living doing that now just realize they can't make any money. People aren't buying shareware. So they're putting these little additional downloads on that. It's not something we see yet in the mobile space on the iPad. But it's really nefarious. But they make a lot of money, so it's hard for them to say no to it. So that's why I really want to support shareware authors and small authors who make apps. Because if you like an app, buy it. You should. Give them a little extra money.
Yeah. Those are developers working hard for your entertainment.
Right. But the Twit iPad app, as John points out, perfect example. When Houdini 7 created TwitPad, he said, can I charge for this? I said, please, by all means, you deserve to get paid for your... We don't make any money off of that. He makes the money off of that. But he deserves to get paid for the work. And it incents him to keep it better, making it better.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. We actually got an email from somebody who said, you've probably showed this off before, but not recently. But you might want to feature the Twit iPad app
again. It's a great app.
I find new features every time I use it, like sending this email, for example. And then it says, sent from the Twit iPad app.
Oh, that's neat.
As his signature.
Craig Mullaney.
99 cents.
Shift Key Software. It's $1.
Yep.
That's a great way to watch the show.
Yep.
Yep.
People love it. And you can, you know, follow along and chat as well. It's the whole kit and caboodle, which doesn't harm kittens. For many years, I thought it was kitten caboodle.
Kitten caboodle.
Like, meow. Yeah. And I didn't get it.
What part of the cat is the kitten caboodle?
Well, I can tell you what I thought it was.
I know exactly
what you...
And I
thought, the whole kitten caboodle. I don't get it, but okay, that's what people say. It's one of those
things.
That's
funny.
Yeah.
Till when? Recently?
I mean, I was an adult for many years before I finally saw it written out and was like, what an idiot. I thought it was kit.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah. Kit and caboodle.
Well, it is a little strange. It's kind of an odd phrase.
It's the whole kitty butt.
Kitty booty.
Yeah. Will you please talk to me about Slingbox?
Oh, man, do I love Slingbox. And you will, too. It turns your iPad into what it really wants to be, which is a personal television.
It's like, please watch please me like watch you me. Watch your DVR.
You know, I see those ads. You probably see the ads for the whatever it is, that dish service where they got the guys from Boston who are watching their iPads everywhere. It's like that, except you don't have to buy any additional services because it's using your existing system, which could be a dish, your satellite, your cable box, your DVR, even like your DVD player and your Blu-ray player. What you do is you go and you get the Slingbox. You can get it at Best Buy, Fry's, Amazon, slingbox.com/twit. When you get it, you bring it home. You hook it up to your home theater system, to all the devices. It's got plugs on the back. If you look at the Slingbox 500 on the website, you'll see all the different plugs on the back. And then there's one more. That's the internet. You can either plug it into internet or now with the Slingbox 500, they've got built-in Wi-Fi so you don't have to be near your router. And suddenly all that stuff is on the internet, password protected, so you can watch your home TV system anywhere you go. Now, you got to understand what that means. It means that when the big game's on, even if it's blacked out where you are, you can watch it as long as you can watch it at home, your local news, It is fabulous. And having it on your iPad means you can watch your iPad, watch your television system anywhere in the house. You don't have to even go away. You could take your iPad with you and be watching it. It is so fabulous. If you have a Dish or a DirecTV or a variety of other systems, it actually puts the appropriate remote on screen so you can program your DVR with your Dish remote. It's so cool. No additional fees. You are already paying for the TV, so now you can watch it. You don't have to buy anything additional. Just get the Sling Box at your Best Buy or your Amazon, or check it out at slingbox.com/twit. And then get the iPad app or the app on your mobile device, on your laptop, and hit the road because you can watch your TV anywhere. It is best, though, I have to say, on the iPad. It's really awesome to have Slingbox on your iPad. Slingbox.com/twit.
You rent yourself an Airbnb. You sit back.
Perfect.
You've got your home television.
You don't even care. And?
And it feels like home.
If they have an Apple TV at the Airbnb, you could play it right up on the big screen.
That
just like
too.
Your home.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
It's so fun. Well, hey, we got a really interesting email from Rick Hyman. He's got an app called SciCalc app, like scientific calculator app. And he says, sometimes people use product reviews in the App Store to gauge an app, and they might assume a product with no reviews hasn't sold well. I recently noticed that reviews for one of my products, which was SciCalc app, wasn't showing up in the App Store app on the iPad, even though reviews appear to be correctly showing when viewed via iTunes on my Mac. So I contacted Apple via developer channels, received a reply that it's a known problem,
really?
That a number of products have been affected.
Oh, no.
They didn't say how many or how long it had been an issue, but they are working on it. But I thought that this was something to bring to everybody's attention because I'm guilty of the same thing. Sometimes I look up an app that someone might suggest, or maybe I find, through some other channel, and I'm like, no one's even reviewed it. I don't know. This app
right.
seems
how
really
could
random.
That be?
And if it's just a bug on the iPad...
That's bad.
Yeah, because it's...
So people are reviewing it, they're just not getting into the listing.
And even though there is if you look up an app in the App Store...
Right.
Let me go into the App Store now. There's a whole area for reviews, ratings and reviews.
Right.
Which is, if I'm looking at Chrome, for example, go ahead and...
There's
you've
a
got
tab.
Details.
Yeah.
See what's new. Then you've got ratings and reviews.
Right.
And, this has a bunch of really good ratings. But if it doesn't have any, I'm liable to be like, I don't know, this seems...
That's a bad sign.
Yeah, this is sort of an app that isn't on anyone's radar. And, then you got to... There's a lot of crappy apps out there.
I won't speak for you, but when I look for app caps or look at apps, I very much pay attention to the reviews.
Me too.
They can save you from recommending an app that people are having trouble with. I mean,
exactly.
You don't want to buy an app that crashes all the time.
And sometimes the App Store itself will recommend apps like... new and noteworthy in that section, and you kind of go like, oh, cool, the App Store recommended it, so
yeah.
It must be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the reviews, and everyone's like, crashes on install.
Right.
And there's enough of the same people complaining about the same thing where you're like, I don't know. I don't think
it's
anybody at Apple's really paying much attention to how good the quality of the stuff is. So if you see an app that you're interested in and you don't see any reviews via your iPad, it might be worth, if you really care enough, to check it out via iTunes on the web or your Mac. I guess it would have to be your Mac.
So if you do it on the Mac, they will
iTunes,
show up.
Through iTunes.
So it will show up on the Mac, but it just won't show up on the iPad.
Yeah, he said it seemed to be an iOS issue.
That stinks.
Also got an email. This is sort of a question from a couple that are going to the Middle East for about 15 days on vacation from St. Louis. So a nice long plane ride. And he says, I'm wondering if there's any device, app, or anything available which will allow my wife and I to copy video onto the iPad, which we've stored either on a thumb drive or an SD card or an external drive. We both have iPad minis, and that flight is long. He says, I know we can load the iPads up with video, but we also need space for photos and stuff like that. I've been looking at the Seagate Wireless Plus, but I'm not sure if that can pass video from the drive... from the external drive to the iPad hard drive. We're seriously thinking about leaving our iPhones at home and using the iPad for FaceTime and Magic Jack. One final question. I'm wondering if I have videos on my iPad, can they detain me if they feel the video is not on the device in a legal fashion?
Yes.
They can?
Yes.
Well, I guess they can.
Of course they can.
But do they? Have you ever heard of that before?
I don't know. See, this is ACTA, A-C-T-A. This is what was the big deal about ACTA, was that customs agents could take your device and search it. and look for pirated materials. Uh-huh. They always said, we'll look for child porn or other illegal stuff. But it was all about, ACTA was all about protecting copyright. I don't know. Anybody have any examples of being stopped at the border?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it depends on the country you're entering or exiting.
Mostly entering the U.S., but ACTA was a treaty that was signed all around the world
right.
by a lot of people. Canada was a signatory, I know. So
yeah, right, because people were talking about going
right.
between the U.S. and Canada.
So I don't know. I don't know of any stories of that happening.
Now, Peter, who just independently wrote in with something that may actually be the solution here, or one of them, this is a Wi-Fi external drive made by, let me open up the...
It's a lot of companies. Seagate makes this, Western Digital makes
yeah.
this.
Yeah, Patriot Memory.
Oh, I don't know this one.
The Gauntlet Node.
What is this, encrypted?
He says is good. What?
What is this?
It's a wireless hard drive.
Oh.
Yeah.
The
so it's basically
Gauntlet
like...
Node.
Yeah, so it's like a, it's an expandable based on, you. There's
this is,
some
I get what
amount
you're saying.
Of.
Yeah, and I have one that it was the Seagate Go. There were a number of these. They are Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And you have to have the app for the device on your iPad, and you can watch any movies or TV show that are on the device.
Yeah. Now, of course, that assumes that you have a Wi-Fi connection
no.
that you're not, you know, paying for.
No. This is a Wi-Fi.
Oh,
you
yeah.
sign. It's a little weird because you lose internet access when you do this.
Oh, yeah.
So the
it's
device,
like a,
the hard
like
drive is
intranet.
Its own. Yeah. It's its own Wi-Fi access point. It says, you know, Gauntlet A3972. You
yeah.
you you go to that on your iPad. You can't use the internet anymore because you're not online. You're on the device. But you can watch
just,
the movie on there.
Yeah, if you're trying to transfer.
And many of these
that
will
might be a good
yeah, or
as
not
well.
Necessarily transfer, but watch movies. And then it's good in a car, for instance, because you could have multiple movies played back. So if the kids have different iPads and you've loaded the drive up with kids' movies, they can all watch their movies on the hard drive becomes a hotspot.
Yeah. This is if you look this up on just the Gauntlet Node on Amazon, it's about $100.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, not.
But that's without a drive.
Right.
That's just an enclosure.
Right.
So Seagate and Western Digital and other companies yeah. sell them as drives that have this all built in.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, it's a. It might be a good solution. Certainly mm-hmm. something worth looking into if you think that's a good solution for you. And, yeah, I mean, if you are looking for a wireless hotspot, if you're you don't say if you're going to stay in expensive hotels or whatever, but sometimes all those rates can jack up as well.
Seagate GoFlex, that's the name of it.
The Seagate GoFlex.
GoFlex.
I'm going to add that into our rundown.
Yeah.
So all of you, you can look at our show notes
it.
At twit.tv/IPT.
I have it in my office. Oh, I'm sorry. The free agent is what you... Free agent
the Seagate,
GoFlex. Wait a minute. Let me check.
Free agent
I don't
Go
write anything down
Flex.
Yet. I don't write anything down. That's not it either.
All right.
I'll find the name of it.
You find the name
Chat
of it.
Chat room will know.
In the meantime, I mentioned you can write us at iPad today at twit.tv if you have good developer stories of how much money that you've made off of your apps recently, or you have more solutions for... 'Tis the season for vacation. Everybody has vacation... questions about how do I take my iPad to this particular country, help me, or how do I, you know, everybody's trying to figure out how to travel best with their iPad. So that's awesome. So any good tips that you have, please do email us because we love to pass them along to everybody who needs those tips. You can always leave us a voicemail as well at 757-504-IPAD. Do remember that if for any reason you have a question, that's great. You go ahead and call us, but don't leave your number as a place for us to call you back.
Because we're not going to call you back.
We're not going to call you back, and then we can't play your voicemail
right.
because we don't want people to call
we
you
could
back
do that.
And crank call
and
you.
And then a lot of people could call you with the answer. That's a good idea.
I don't know if I want to be promoting that.
No, we
that's
won't
a little
that.
Too much share economy going on.
Unless your number is 865-375-309. Don't call.
And that in
it's
that
the
case,
Seagate
got your number.
GoFlex Satellite.
Oh.
$115 for 500 gigs, so it's a little less expensive because it includes the hard drive. And, you know, I have one in my drawer somewhere. It's very cool. So 500 gigs, you could load it up via USB 3 with a ton of stuff off your computer. I mean, got to make sure it's iPad-compatible movies, of course. And then it becomes a Wi-Fi access spot that you log into with your iPad and you watch the movies. I'll bring it in next show. I'll show you. It's very cool.
Yeah, that's another thing, iPad-compatible. VLC player for iOS just got updated.
Well, you're going to use the Seagate software. I'm pretty sure you have to use their dedicated thing, and it says it'll go 5 hours. It's battery, you know, so it's wireless. So they'll go 5 hours on a charge. So it's only good if you have a 5 hour drive. If you have a 6 hour drive, bring a book. No, you could plug it into the cigarette lighter.
It can also be a little bit of a battery boost. You know, if it's fully charged and your iPad is dead, you can just plug it in.
Really?
Some
sometimes
not,
they do
not
that.
Exactly
yeah.
that product because yeah. I've never seen that product before, but sometimes they
Kingston
do.
Kingston Y Drive, that's another one. Thank you, Effin Dunn.
Nice.
Yep.
Kingston Y Drive. Yeah, you've got some options. All right, so I'm going to put my app cap on.
Please do.
If that's okay with
I
you.
I won't look because I, you know,
I have
it's like a bride.
Coordinated my app cap.
I want to be surprised. I don't want to see her ahead of time.
I don't want to see you ever, but I have to every Thursday. It's fine. Not a problem.
Our show today brought to you by, if I can get it out because I'm so bereft,
Gazelle. I just say that to get attention.
.com. You just wear that hat to get attention.
That's right.
If you are you ready for the new iPad, the new iPhone, the next big thing? You better get ready. And one good way to do it is to get a quote right now from Gazelle.com. These quotes are locked in for 30 days. So if the new iPad comes out, you can by gosh. Get a quote right now and be ready when it comes out. I think we're getting close enough. You might want to wait till August for the 30-day thing. But I think we're getting close. iPhone, too. You want to get the new iPhone. Maybe you've got a Samsung Galaxy S3. You want to trade up. If you go to Gazelle.com, they will give you cash for your old phone. Lots of it. A surprisingly large amount of it. They wipe the data for you. They even pay the postage, which is really nice. So anything worth more than a buck, You get the quote on Gazelle. Do a bunch of stuff. You might as well. They'll send you a box with prepaid mailer on it. You throw it all in there, and really, within just, you know, a few days, they're going to send you a check or a money order. If you want to get it right away, you can get a PayPal credit. And, look at that. What was that that's worth $165? That's the S3. That's a great deal.
Yeah, you're like, hey, man, I want that new iPad.
I'm almost there, man.
I got to get rid of this Galaxy S3 I'm not using.
Yeah. Good idea. You want to get it now. Get that quote now. You lock it in for 30 days. The pro tip is to get the Amazon gift card because they add 5% to the value on that. It's really great. Gazelle. Maybe if you're looking for a new phone, you've got a 4S and you want to upgrade, this is a great way to do it. And by the way, just to maybe let you know that this is a great thing, you might be interested to hear that they have paid out now $100 million to over 500,000 customers.
$100 million. I didn't even know that.
Isn't it amazing? Gazelle. I love them. Gazelle.com. Wow. Why let it sit in your drawer or your closet when you can get cash money? Gazelle. Recycle the easy way. Gazelle.com.
What kind of app cap is that?
Why, little Sarah Lane, don't you wish you had... Now, I could put it on like this.
Or you could do it like gladiator style.
Or I can do it mohawk.
Oh, yeah. That I like.
Sarah?
It's very you.
Why do we wear hats?
Well, Leo, it's because... There isn't a really good reason. But because long ago when
make something up.
when we said, hey, Sarah, you should work at Twit. And I went, yeah, cool. We should do a show about iPads. It's the new thing. It's probably going to be a pretty big product. And we went, yeah, okay. How do we make the show kind of stand out? And we couldn't think of anything. And I said, well, what's this collection of hats you have in the corner of the cottage? Let's make that part of the show. We'll call them app caps.
This is complete fiction, folks.
What?
This is not the truth. But go ahead. It's a great story.
What are you saying? What's your alternate universe version of the truth? This is the part of the show.
I think you were working for me long before the caps came on.
Not full time. It was before the show started. It was before the show started.
Yeah.
When we decided to do iPad.
And
today,
I did have a pile of caps. They were actually Ozzy's bed.
I basically was like, we're going to do this iPad show. Can we wear hats as part of it? And you went, yeah.
Yeah.
Figure it out. And
did
I said,
you know?
Okay.
By the way, that hat you're wearing.
Yes.
Is called a Jane hat.
I like it.
It is from the TV show Firefly.
Okay.
And it was knitted for me by Kat the Knitter. But here's an interesting story.
Yeah.
The creators of the show Firefly are suing people for making patterns or selling Jane hats.
What?
I
Come
read
on.
That.
Orange and mustard yellow.
No, but there's a certain style.
Come on.
I know, I find that hard to believe.
How could this?
Let me see if I can find that news story.
That's sad.
Yeah, and how could you trademark that?
I just thought it was, you know, kind of matched the orange thing I had going on. Actually, Jeff Nadel's.
I love it. It's really good.
It's a good hat. It's a little warm for summer, but
Firefly.
Taking one for the team here.
Oh, and here's, wait a minute, that's not what I was looking for. All those fan-made Jane hats have been pulled from the shelves. This is a Jane bra, but that's another.
Oh my!
That's another thing in time.
I could see the Firefly people being like, "Come on,
that's
now,
not the one
that.
They're mad at."
I think they're mad at all of them. Those are like two little hats.
A deal between Fox, which created the Firefly series, and Think Geek has set off a string of legal threats that forced vendors to stop selling homemade versions
knitted
of knock-offs. Jane hats.
News at 11.
You can only get it from Think Geek. But I don't think Think Geek has the Jane bra.
That's.
Can we do a new
like
feature on the show?
That. What, bras?
The app bra?
Well,
no.
You can. I would be fine with that.
No.
That'd be a fun thing, right, everybody?
No.
Yeah, come on, Leo in a bra.
This
the
is,
bro,
this is from Blaster.com, April 9th, 2013. There's a Jane wearing the hat. I mean,
Jane's a guy.
Well, that's what's funny about it.
Oh.
He's the tough guy.
I didn't watch the show.
You haven't seen Firefly?
Oh, no, I know. I haven't
great
seen
show.
Battlestar Galactica either. Everybody flood the chat room with how I've lost
so
all my
his name
cred.
Is Jane with a Y, Cobb.
Meh.
And he's the tough guy. And that's what's funny about it is that his mom made him this hat. And, of course, nobody would laugh at it.
Well, I'm not taking off this hat, everyone at Firefly. And I don't care who knows it. Instead, I'm going to use this opportunity to talk about my AppCap Award winner of the week. This is the Leo and I each get an app we like a lot that we want to share with all of you. And mine is called Duolingo. Now, before the show, Leo, you said, oh, yeah, I know that. I know that app.
Yeah.
How do you know it?
It strikes me that this is new on the iPad.
Correct.
But it strikes me I've heard of them before, that this service, this company has been around before.
Oh, okay. So this is the first.
This is their first iPad version.
Oh, okay. This is the first I've heard of Duolingo.
I think it was a desktop, but I'm not sure.
The company's mission is to help us learn languages,
hey.
And I'm always into that. So
I like it.
This is kind of neat because learning a language, especially as an adult, is just hard. It's you know, you've got to retain information. We've got busy brains. And,
yeah, they were
and
a website.
Tough.
They were a website first.
Okay, so
yeah.
Maybe you already are familiar with Duolingo. If so, you might like this app even more. It's completely free, and it's not ad-supported at all, which is like, what's the catch? They may have more expensive software that's available in their suite of products. But what's nice about this app is I've gone ahead and said I would like to learn French because that's just sort of my thing. So if I go from, I'm hearing the basics. I'm going to go ahead and say, all right, let's start to listen to. This is kind of fun. So it's like little trivia questions here. Select the man. So I've got four pictures. Well, that clearly is the man.
L'homme.
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 And I'm correct. Awesome. Continue.
L'homme. La femme.
La femme.
In French, le and la become le when the next word begins with a vowel.
So
cool.
Femme
all right.
Is woman.
Got it. And now it says translate into English. So then I would say the man, the woman. Because that's what it says. L'homme. La femme. Yay.
So the story behind
Je suis riche.
Is interesting.
I'm rich.
This company was founded. It's in 2011.
Oh,
and this is free and will always be free. The way they make money is it's crowdsourced translation. So as you learn the language, they'll start giving you things to translate, and they actually charge for these crowdsourced translations. That's how they make their money back. I don't get it either, but that's what it says.
Really?
Duolingo, this is from the Wikipedia article, does not charge students to learn a language. Instead, it employs a crowdsourced business model. Members of the public are invited to translate content and vote on translations. The content comes from organizations that pay Duolingo to translate it. It's a very interesting business model. And they're crowdsourcing the lessons. They also, as you go along, they're studying what you and other people are having trouble with, and they will tune the lessons. So I think this is a great idea. This will always be free, and it's a great idea.
I love this. Now, Tyrol in chat is like, but aren't the pictures giving out the answer? It's telling me to select the apple, and all I have to do is look at the apple picture on my iPad.
No, you have to pick the right one, though.
Well, there is only one apple picture. However,
la pomme.
You start, you know,
it's going to get harder. Yeah, you're on the easy.
Exactly.
Easy.
I mean, I'm in, you know, the absolute, like, so that's a red apple, right? Because I know.
La pomme rouge. Une pomme rouge.
Yeah, because I've done this enough so that I'm actually starting to pick up stuff. Yeah. The man is rich. And so on and so forth. Now, you get to certain lessons where it'll say, try your pronunciation. You know, like, the lesson will be, I have to say this using the microphone tool. And I've deliberately said it wrong a couple of times, and I've passed. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. That seems to be part of the app that just doesn't work that well. Maybe it's assuming that we're all really bad to start off and it wants us to feel better. But it's like, if I'm using the wrong word, it shouldn't tell me that I'm correct. That's the only part of this that I haven't seen that's really, really good. However, it is free.
This is so cool.
And it's French, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, German.
They're adding languages all the time, too. So.
And you can also go the other way. So you can go from French to English.
I think with this hat, I'm going the other way.
All right. Yes. You look very, very Portuguese in that hat. I mean, nothing says Lisbon like this guy.
I am a Lisbon.
So that's Duolingo, Duolingo. This is something that you could, you know, you could put in front of your kid. There's nothing like childlike about the app, but it would work for almost anybody of any age, as long as you can read.
I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
It was created by a Carnegie Mellon professor, the same guy who did ReCAPTCHA. And it says here, and his graduate student, the very aptly named Severin Hacker.
La femme est riche.
The woman is rich?
Yeah, the woman is rich.
La femme est riche.
La femme.
Tu es un garçon.
You are a boy.
Thank you for letting me know. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
I thought I was a Lisbon.
You're a Lisbonese boy.
Can I show you? I'm so excited about this.
Yes.
This game is so cool. Just came out. I don't know why, but it's just something. There's something appealing about it. It's called Tiny Thief. Now, it's a Rovio Stars creation, $2.99. Rovio is, of course, the company that did Angry Birds, and there's definitely some Angry Birds, but it's an independent production that Rovio picked up as part of its Rovio Stars label. It is fun like Angry Birds was fun, but very different. You're a thief, and you have to complete levels, just like Angry Birds, by sneaking onto a level and stealing stuff. Let me turn up the audio here. We'll just play. So I've actually done a couple here already, but let's jump ahead to another level and give you an idea. So they just like Angry Birds, you get a cartoon that's kind of explaining what's going on. Bad guy stealing vegetables from children. I'm the thief. It's harvest time. My job is to, I guess, harvest these vegetables. Let's see. Let's take a look. So here we are. There's the vegetables up there. Here I am down here. I'm watering. Uh-oh.
What's that?
I don't know. Something.
It's a hedgehog or...
Something bad has happened. Let's tap the... Oh, let's empty out the barrel. Oh, no, climb in the barrel. Oh, see, he saw me. So in level one, I got to get by the bad guy.
Oh, that's the bad guy.
Oh, yeah, that was me. Okay.
Oh, okay.
So when he looks at me, I have to get in the barrel. Now let's go up the stairs. See, he didn't see me because I'm now up the stairs. We're going to go over here. I think I'm supposed to get these vegetables. I'm a thief, right? And so the timing on this is you got to wait till the guy's not looking, and then we got to get out here. So I'm going to go back down. I got one star.
It's kind of funny because
I made it before he looked at me.
It's like everybody kind of wants to be the thief, you know?
Yeah. So I only got one star, so just like Angry Birds, I can go back and do it better next time or, you know, replay the level.
Yeah.
So isn't it funny how there's different styles? Like, some people won't go to the next level unless they get three stars in the first level.
Yeah.
Some people just want to get through it and then go back and clean it up. Some people don't care at all. So here we go. So I'm the thief. I'm in a cart. The guy meets some people. I don't know what's going on. It's a mystery cartoon. Sometimes with the Angry Birds too, I never know. It's called The Sweetest Loot. I guess I'm trying to get that honey. Okay. I'm trying to get up there, so let's go over here. I don't want the guard to catch me. Really fun game. It's just, silly. I think it's easy enough that little kids would get it because it kind of feels a little bit childish. Let's open that window. So there's a harp. How do I get there? Oh, the harp fell down. Let's play the harp. Okay. There, I got the harp. Now I'm going to go on to more within the same level, apparently. I think kids would get it, but it's still fun for, I think, even grown-ups. Now, see, now I know how to use the barrel now from that last level. So let's get in the barrel real quick. Woo! Before the guard turns around. Yeah, see, he's coming back. We didn't want him to see us. So I'm just going to hide in that barrel. There's the honey I'm trying to get. As soon as the guard turns around, goes the other way. Yeah, I'm going to get out here. Let's go get the honey. You get the idea. It's not a physics problem quite so much as a sneaking around and stealing stuff problem. And there we go.
I love it.
It's fun. I think you would really like this game.
No, you don't. What? You don't really think that I would like it. I think that you like it.
You don't think you would like this? You pushed a dinosaur egg around for years.
Because I don't like to... I don't know. That was a good game.
Tiny Thief.
Arriving HD.
I think you would like this. I'm telling you. Just play a couple of levels. All right. Did you play the game Dumb Ways to Die?
Well, we have together.
Yeah, and then as you played it, did you like it more? Soon you realize this is the greatest game ever?
That's a fun game because it's fun and funny and there's a song involved. Okay, I'm not saying I don't like this game. I think it's perfect for you, Leo.
It'll make lights shoot out of the top of your head. It's that good.
In that case, let's rob things. Yeah, Tiny Thief.
Tiny Thief.
That's good.
$2.99.
We got Duolingo for free. Learn a language.
That is great.
Impress your friends. Go nuts.
Yep.
And then we've got Tiny Thief. And thank you for some of the backstory on the company, because I didn't know any of that.
It's an interesting story. Yeah. You know what? I realized I've used it on Android. It was a very big seller big title on Android.
Yeah. It sounds like something. There's Duolingo. There are other companies that sound a little like Duolingo. So I was like, yeah. If I'm familiar, we've got Duolingo and then we've got Tiny Thief. So you can curse in Portuguese once you don't get your 2 stars in a level and combine the 2 app caps and make magic.
Yes.
Yes. All right. On that note, we are done with this episode of iPad Today. Thanks, everybody, for watching and listening. We love you all so very much. We will be here next week, Thursdays. We're live on Thursdays at somewhere around 1 p.m. Pacific time.
Oh, don't be mad at me.
I'm not mad. I'm just side-eyeing you.
Give me the stink eye.
I'm giving you just a little side-eye. Somewhere around 1 p.m. Pacific time, 4 p.m. Eastern. Thanks to everybody who watches us live and hangs out with us in chat and gives us good app suggestions and topic stuff live. But if not, you can always find us at twit.tv/IPT. That's our show page. Watch any of our archived episodes there. You can watch them right from any of the episode pages. Links to anything that we talk about, apps and news stories and stuff like that. And you can, of course, subscribe to the show and not even think about any time that we ever do the show and watch it whenever your little heart desires. And that's all. Thanks, everybody, for watching. We'll see you next week on iPad Today.